Welcome to the Co-op Feeds Podcast. If you like to follow all things related to animal agriculture, then this is the podcast for you. Tune in for expert news with our special guest, an overview of commodity market trends, and hot topics in the industry every month. We'll also give you a sneak peek at what's to come for our monthly species series. Cattle, sheep, goats, horses, or chickens. We cover it all. Join us at the feed bin. Now, please welcome your host.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Protrition Feed Podcast. We're certainly glad that you've taken the time to listen to us today. And I think you'll find the subject matter very interesting today. We're excited about it. And we appreciate you joining us. Once again, I'm John Houston, Director of Business Services for Protrition Feed. And let me tell you once again that Protrition Feed is a joint venture feed company joining forces of Tennessee Farmers Cooperative's Feed Division and Perina Land O'Lakes Feed Division for Tennessee and Kentucky. We are proud manufacturers of the Co-op Feed brand, the Perina Feed brand, Triple Crown brand, and the Cumberland Mills brand. And we thank you so much for buying those brands, and we thank you so much for joining us today. As we start, I just wanted to give you some update information from the latest Census of Agriculture. And we want to just give you the five takeaways that were printed in that report so that you can kind of have a great idea of that report. And also, if you really want a copy of the entire report, you can go out there to the internet and pull the report for the Census of Agriculture. But number one, there was a decline in total number of farms and acreage and operations, and we certainly understand that. In particular, where we are, we see farmland being taken over by industry and taken over by home building, and the growth that's taking place all across the United States. But we certainly would expect to see that in this report. Also, the second thing that the report outlines, that there was an increased product value, and that product value generated overall higher farm income despite higher farm expenses. So really and truly, we're producing a better product, even though it's costing us more to get that product produced. We are producing a better product, and the value is being recognized in the marketplace. So this report brings that out very, very well. And a little bit of a surprise there as we think about that, as our farm input costs are going up, but our value is being recognized. In particular, if you look at the cattle sector and what we talked about on the last podcast and what cattle are bringing today on the hoof and the exports and imports, we would certainly can see the value of that product being increased. The third thing that the report outlines is there is a big increase in more off-farm decision makers. So the decision makers on the farm, just being the family-owned farm, a lot of times we're seeing more off-farm decision makers. While the majority of farms are still family-owned, the number of farms in an LLC increased by over 50,000, while those that are involved in corporations in day-to-day decisions increased a little over 10,000. So as we think about that, we see that there's more people involved in decision-making as farms continue to get larger and larger all across the United States. The fourth thing that we see in this report is, believe it or not, there is a real measurable effect of newer and younger farm operators. You know, we see that the average age of the farmer actually increased from 57 and a half years old to 58 years old, very slightly. But what we see is that there are new and young operators on the farm. Just over a million of the total 3.4 million operators have been in business just under 10 years. And so if you look at that, then we see this statistic. There was also an increase in the number of operators aged 44 and younger who are involved in the day-to-day decision making. So very, very good news as we get younger individuals in the business of farming. The last thing I wanted to mention was number five in the report, is there is an uptick and conservation efforts on the farm. That's been a great push all across the United States, and we see that the data shows producers have spent the past 5 years ramping up their conservation practices, and over 10,000 more farms are using conservation or reduced tillage in their fields. And while slightly fewer operations are using cover crops, the total number of acres they are planted on has increased. So very good statistic there as it comes to conservation. I wanted to mention some Tennessee agricultural statistics as we talked about the national census of agriculture, but as it relates to Tennessee, the last data that came out, a little over 69,000 total farms in the state of Tennessee with an average farm size of 154 acres. There's just under 40% of the land in Tennessee is farmland, and as we said before, that's certainly changing very rapidly in the state of Tennessee. You can go out and look at some of the studies that the University of Tennessee Institute of Agriculture has just released at the number of acres that have been lost to growth. It's very, very concerning at the impact that that's having on agriculture in Tennessee. The financial impact, though, that agriculture has in Tennessee is about $89 billion. 366,000 people in Tennessee are employed by agriculture and forestry, so a very large part of the state's income. Farmers continue to grow in Tennessee soybeans and corn and wheat and cotton, hay and tobacco, cattle and calves. Broiler chickens are certainly a large part of our agriculture here in Tennessee, as well as tomatoes, and there's still dairies in Tennessee as well, with a production value of over $5 billion. We kind of break it out this way, just under 60% of agriculture in Tennessee is devoted to cropland, and around 40% to livestock. So those are just some quick statistics coming from some of the latest things that have been released, and we thank you so much and thought you might be interested in that. So as we think about that, I'm excited to introduce our guest today. I've worked with this gentleman many years. Certainly glad to have John Duke of Green Point Ag here today to talk a little bit about fertilizer and some of our hay ground and our pasture ground and some of the things that he deals with fertilizer day in and day out. John, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Certainly glad to have you. First of all, John, I know I said we've worked together a long time. I really don't know how long that is, at least 35 plus years, maybe 36 or 7, but certainly glad to have you here today. And just give us a little bit of your background, where you raised and how you came into the cooperative system, and then we'll talk a little more about Green Point.
Thank you, John. John said, my name is John Duke. I grew up in Coffee County, Tennessee. Also, I went to school at Middle Tennessee State University, majored in plant soil science there. Got a four-year degree there. I've always been passionate about farming and agriculture. I didn't really grow up on a production farm, but we did have a few acres and fiddled around with that. However, farming was all around us, and I had a love for that, and started out working actually at Soil Conservation Service right out of school. I was down in South Carolina and worked there about 8 months, and got homesick, I guess you could say. So I applied at Tennessee Farmers Co-op and started on the trainee program in Franklin County, Tennessee. Then after that, stayed there about 8 months, and then got the position of pretty well where I'm at today in the Crop Nutrients Department, selling fertilizer and distributing fertilizer to the family co-ops. Now I'm still a co-op guy. I do work for Green Point Ag, which is a partnership between Tennessee Farmers Co-op, Alabama Farmers Co-op, and Winfield United. It's an agronomy company dealing primarily with the corn, cotton, beans, got peanuts now, never did that before, and those kind of things. But as well, a big part of our business in Tennessee is hay and pasture, for sure. There's a lot of cattle out there, and we're going to take care of those growers on their hay and pasture needs. Cover the Southeast. Green Point goes all the way down to South Georgia to Texas. So we've got a big footprint now. We've got a lot of resources available to us, not only in facilities and those kind of things, but it's also with intelligence and our experience of other folks like myself in the business to have better resources to hopefully help our growers out.
So John, you mentioned Greenpoint, a lot about Greenpoint and the partnership there. Just like Protrition, we have our partners, and Greenpoint Ag has its partners. But, you know, one of the things that our audience might be interested in is Greenpoint Ag is quite a large player in crop protection and fertilizer and seed. Now that this company has been formed, I want to say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's at least a $1 billion company today.
Yes, it is. It's a huge company, over $1 billion. And with that, hopefully comes better buying power from the majors out there as far as the major producers and suppliers. And that will create more efficiencies and hopefully more competitive products for these for our growers to use.
Absolutely. So, John, as we talked about, you know, with Protrition, we're interested in forage quality. Even though we sell feed, we tell people all the time it's all about the forage. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to supplement our forages in the Southeast, in particular in Tennessee and Kentucky. But we want forage quality to be the best it can be. So it starts there with fertilizer. And what do you see as far as supply this year? And you know, here in Tennessee, if it stays dry, you know, we got just a day or two, we're going to be spreading hay ground and fertilizer and pasture ground. So what do you see about supply?
Exactly. Right now, we've got the stores are in good shape as far as they've been filled up. We call it a fill program in the wintertime. We'll bring fertilizer in and get the member co-ops filled up with fertilizer to be ready to go when the push does happen. And like you say, it could be this week. We've got some good temperatures coming up. Got a little rain coming in next week. So our growers probably are going to be looking at it pretty hard to get this fertilizer on their hay ground. So everybody's ready there. There is some tightness in the market, though. Seems like there always is now. There's a big demand across the U.S. for fertilizer and crop nutrients. Right now, our biggest, I guess you call it concern, is our phosphates. Phosphates have been tough to find in the past 2 years, 3 years. And so that's our biggest concern. However, we did have a good push of vessels coming in this month that were delayed, but they're coming in now. And we think we're going to be okay. Still concerning, but we're going to keep pushing to get the phosphates in. The phosphates now primarily are coming in import. They always have, and we have had to source from other countries. Countries such as Saudi Arabia, they produce phosphates. There is some coming from the African countries also. So, you know, that's been our toughest thing to do is finding phosphates. The phosphate supply in the U.S. is still going, but it's not enough to cover what we need. One thing that happened to us, say, back in January, y'all remember, or still is ongoing with the geopolitical stuff going on and the wars going on, it's changed the trade routes. So that's put a two-week delay on some of these vessels coming in. But we saw them coming in here recently, and we got a pretty good slug off of that. Now we're looking forward to see what else is coming this way. Hopefully we'll be able to get that. Some things that happened there, there is one country that had a tariff put on them, and that could be coming off. It's going to help that supply. They were a major producer of phosphates, and we're looking forward to that next year. May not help us this year, but next year it will. With that, hope to bring the pricing down.
So one of the things you mentioned there, John, and I think our audience may or may not realize, they may know, but they may not stop to think about it. You know, right now, those of us that are looking for pasture and hay fertilizer or getting our names on the books to rent a buggy or get someone to come and spread our fertilizer, and it's just all you can do daylight to midnight, as hard as you can go to get that taken care of. But what folks need to understand and realize, you started planning for this season a long time ago. Okay. Because you don't just get a ton of fertilizer here. You don't just call and order it. There's a lot, and there's vessels, as you say, involved, and there's routes involved, and anything can slow that up. So talk a little bit about how Saudi Arabia or an African country, how you place your order and what has to happen to get that product to Luverne, Tennessee, or to Nashville, Tennessee, or wherever you're going.
Okay. Yeah, we start planning actually in the summer for this next season. We have, let's talk about phosphate, two major suppliers there. One of them is actually a cooperative, CHS, Senex Harvest States. And that's one of our main suppliers of phosphate from a trading aspect. They deal with those other countries. We're not directly involved with Saudi Arabia or those other countries. They do that. And so that's been a good partnership. Mosaic is another supplier of our phosphate. They're our domestic supplier. They've got a decent supply, but still not enough to go around. And then also we deal with Nutrien a little bit on the phosphate side just to keep us supplemented between Mosaic, CHL. And there's other trading companies too we deal with, but that's our primary ones. We'll set up a plan for all year starting in the summer before the next season. On the nitrogen side, I was going to get into that. Nitrogen is another big part of our business for sure. And for the hay and pasture guy, it really is. That's another one that traded worldwide. The world market, and we're involved in it daily. There again, it's CHS we try to deal with, and then other trading companies we deal with also throughout the season. But it does take a lot of planning, so that is a big deal.
That's one of the things you don't want to do is be in season and can't get product. It's a small window when the product can be utilized, and that makes it very tough when you're even if you plan the best, anything can happen. And one of the things that I will, John didn't ask me to do this, but one of the things that I will brag on John and his team all these years is we always have supply. I don't know how you do it sometimes. We always get it done. Our farmers and our producers can always get fertilizer. And I know that it gets tough some years with a lot of things that happen in the world and getting product here. I know from the standpoint of the river caused a lot of problems, may still be causing you problems. I'm not sure. You know, we couldn't get barges up the river. Mm-hmm. And that causes a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And let's talk to us a little bit about how important the rivers are.
Okay. Tennessee's blessed with a very good river system. So probably, I want to say around 80% of what we do is coming in by barge. And so it's a major part of our logistical deal. And so when that river did get so low this past fall and actually this past late summer or late spring, it got pretty hairy. It got touchy. The barges just could not get up that river. So, you know, in turn, we do have a good rail system, so we have utilized it. However, as far as the pricing in that mode of transportation is high, depending on that river quite a bit. Now, things have gotten better. The river is back full, but I'm sure we're going to see this again. Now, it goes the other way when the river gets so high. Flooding and those kind of things, that can be detrimental to our barge. Set back and rethink things when that does happen. Rail is still available, but then that gets tight too, because the whole country is looking at rail when the rivers do get out of whack.
Absolutely, and we see that on the feed side, because when that gets out of whack on the fertilizer side, we use a lot of rail, so it gets tough to get things move from one place to the other. John, let's kind of hone down here just a little bit. Okay. You've explained some of the world markets and some of the ways that things happen. But when it comes to local producers and pasture ground, the very first thing, you know, is what would you recommend that a producer do first before going and buying his fertilizer?
Yeah, y'all have heard this time and time again, soil test. That's a big part of what we recommend. Soil testing lets you know what you've got in your ground, and by that you can plan on what you need on fertilizer. If you soil test, you're going to be using that ground the most efficient way and not putting fertilizer out there that you don't need or not getting enough fertilizer that you do need. So I do recommend soil testing wholeheartedly. If you didn't get to get it soil tested and you got to get going on something, stick with a 1-to-1-to-1 ratio, meaning same percentage of nitrogen, phosphate, potash. 60-60-60 is a good one to go with on hay and pasture. And you know, if you got some clover out there, maybe back off on the nitrogen somewhat, those kind of things. But do recommend that soil test. And that way you're going to spend your money the most efficient way and get the most out of your brain.
Absolutely. You want to spend it where you need it and not spend it where you don't. And certainly our standpoint on the feed side of things, we want our producers to have the best pasture and hay crop that they can have, such that we can match the right product to that forage. And when we can do that, then we save that producer money. That producer can be more profitable. And our philosophy in the whole co-op system is, if we can help a producer be more profitable, that will help our systems and our companies be more profitable. Yeah. So, John, I appreciate you being here today. We're going to wrap this up. And as we wrap this up, I want to tell our audience that if you have any questions about fertilizer, about soil testing, about any crop protection products or seed or feed for that matter, go by your local co-op. Those folks can help you. They can call on those of us in Greenpoint Ag or ProTrition for help if they need it. But certainly go by your local co-op. Go by and talk to them. Pick you up some information there. You can certainly purchase your fertilizer there. And we would certainly ask that you check out your local co-op. And as we say that, I want to let you in on one promotion that we have in ProTrition going on, and that's with co-op brand Cattle Mineral. So we have a golden ticket program. You might get a bag of co-op branded mineral and find a golden ticket in there. And when you do, you're going to be the proud owner of a brand new steel chainsaw. I want you to be looking in the month of April, as we will have our fly control cattle minerals on special for $2 a bag off the month of April. That's $80 a ton. And I encourage you to go buy your co-op and buy co-op brand, the proven brand. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to the Co-op Feeds Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Follow us on Facebook under Co-op Feeds for daily updates. We'll see you all next month around the Co-op Feed Bin. And remember, anyone can shop Co-op. Visit one of our retail locations for all your livestock and rural lifestyle needs.